We'd like to welcome our radio audience to the sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church. Our radio sponsor this morning is Jerry White in honor of Beth's birthday, and the altar flowers are sponsored by Glenda Burton. Our scripture this morning is Mark 1, 29 through 39. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many of various diseases. He also drove out many demons. But he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Jesus' prayer to the solitary place. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." And Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, in a nearby village, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. Isaiah 40, 28 through 31. "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives the strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youth grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." Our sermon this morning is His Healing Touch by Pastor Angel Armstrong.
Good morning. Before we get into the word altogether, I'd like to remind you that in biblical times, disease, illness, sickness was viewed altogether differently. If you had disease, especially if that disease was apparent upon your body, you were considered unclean, untouchable. And you had to run around saying unclean so that nobody came within 10 paces of you. And the lepers were totally ostracized and cast out. Disease was frowned upon. It was misunderstood. There were many times that they were trying to cast out demons, and some of the times there were demons, but some of the times it was disease or illness or disability. Now, we know our Lord Jesus knew the difference. But the rest of them, they didn't so much know the difference. And disease caused exclusion, extreme exclusion. I spent a little bit of time with this book this week. Too much to put into my message. It's titled A Healing Homiletic, Preaching and Disability. And I'm telling you, although I have a real good understanding of disabilities, this book opened my eyes. You don't like what I'm preaching? Miss Evie, tell me all about it, baby girl. I want to read just a short passage from you. Exclusion from the temple involved both the issue of needing boundaries for protection and the issue of purity or holiness. Nothing could defile the temple. For these reasons, Leviticus forbids persons with disability from making offerings or even going near the altar. You're not going to catch a disability. But they didn't know that in that day and time. If you were blind, if you were deaf, if you were mute, if you had a limp, if you had some sort of disability, they feared you because they might catch it. I think sometimes our world still treats people with disabilities in that way. And that is beyond sad. The New Testament understanding of illness has both positive and negative aspects in relationships to persons living with disabilities today. On the one hand, the notion of illness from biblical times carries with it a more holistic understanding. In other words, at least they understood at that part in time. They didn't compartmentalize every part of your body. If you go to the doctor today, you can only talk about one body part, or they make you come back for another appointment for insurance to pay for it. For people like me that have systemic issues, that doesn't work very well at all. At least in biblical times, they understood that not only is every part of our body and systems connected, but our mind, our soul, which is our emotions and our mind, and our spirit, that part of us in which the Holy Spirit resides, are all connected. And that is important for our understanding of healing, of illness, of sickness, of healing and cure. You see, in biblical times, there's a big difference. And even today, there's a difference between healing and cure. Cure could be defined as that miracle that hits and boom, you're all together well. It could be defined as going through treatment that in the end will cure you. It could be that healing is defined as having time and opportunity to get right with your Maker and all the people around you before the ultimate act of healing occurs, before we are called on high. Cure. The disease is now in remission or corrected. Healing. You have been touched in some way, and you are different, whether it is through medication, whether it is through prayer, whether it is through divine and miraculous. You have been touched, and you are not the same. And I have talked to many, many people struggling with many things, and that healing where Christ touches your mind, your emotions, your spirit, that is the healing that they want above all else. I know it's the healing that I want. Yeah, I want my hives to go away. I want the swelling to go away. I want all the other little issues to go away. But what's really important to me is to feel God's presence in my life. And I have heard that from so many people. Even death itself is a form of healing. And let me tell you, beloved, if you think birth is a miracle, death is every bit as much of a miracle and holy and sacred. Today, we come to this passage in Mark where Jesus is called to the bedside of Peter's mother-in-law. Peter knows that his mother-in-law is gravely ill and calls for Jesus. And Jesus comes right away. Jesus simply reaches out his hand to her in her bed and lifts her up. And in doing so, the fever dissipates. At that day and time, having a fever was a serious issue. They had no idea how to bring the fevers down. And just the fevers would kill somebody. He simply reached out his hand and took hers and lifted her up. And in the few seconds it took to do that, the fever and the illness and the fear all dissipated, and she was healed. She got up, began waiting on people and caring for them. That is what the intervention of Jesus Christ looks like. That Jesus healed many people who were sick, and he cast out many demons. Beloved, there is still oppression today. I think possession is rare, but there is oppression today, and sometimes that oppression can manifest physically when our emotions are shoved down, when we have things that are unhealed in our body, when we hold on to anger and bitterness. They cause heart problems, they cause cancer, they cause all kinds of disease. Is it any wonder that Christ's first response to anyone was to offer forgiveness, whether he verbally said it or not? His first response was to offer forgiveness. There was people who said, how does he have the right to do that? Not only did he have the right to do it, but beloved, he gives you that authority as well. You are part of the body of Christ. You are part of the priesthood of believers. And you can offer forgiveness in Christ's name to somebody who is struggling, somebody who feels guilty, somebody who is burdened, somebody who is holding on to resentment, bitterness, someone who could become physically ill because of what they are holding on to. Try to imagine this scene and many other scenes where Jesus brought about healing. Jesus reaches out to people suffering from sickness and disease, and he touches them with his healing hands. He touched the eyes of the blind and they could see again. He touched the ears of the deaf and they could hear again. He touched the mouths of the mute and they could speak again. He touched those in need of forgiveness and relieved them of the burden of guilt and shame. He laid his hands upon many sick people and help them. And the same is true for us today. Christ Jesus himself told us, and you will do even more than I did in my name, if you believe it. If you believe it. Everybody thinks all the miracles stopped with the book of Acts. And all I've got to say to that is open your eyes. Look around. There are miracles everywhere. They might be smaller than somebody being able to see again. A restored relationship is a miracle. The birth of a child is a miracle. Prayer answered is a miracle. The change in a human life from an addict to a clean person is a miracle. There are miracles all around us. And Christ not only heals our body, but he heals our minds and our souls. He touched us with the waters of holy baptism, and we were born again. He touches us with the Word of God, and we are strengthened, and faith is created. He touches us with the bread of life and the wine, the cup of the new covenant, and we are forgiven, and we are healed, and we carry that with us out of this church into our communities so that we might share of His light. Through His word and sacraments, Jesus touches our sin-sick life and makes us well and whole. On the cross, we see how the Son of God took our sin sickness upon Himself, past, present, and future, and hung upon that cross. Took our sins, took our shame, took our guilt upon Himself so that it could be lifted from each and every one of us at the time that He has designated. Jesus came to heal the sick. He even tells us, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, it is the sick. If new people were to come into the church and think we have it all together, they would have no reason to return when we show them that we struggle too, but Christ comes along us and gives us strength and heals us. We are giving them the greatest gift possible. Isaiah says, He carried our sorrows, and the punishment that brought us peace was upon Him. By His wounds we are healed. Our good physician took our place. He became sick so that we would be cured. By His wounds we are healed. Jesus says it is not the healthy who need that doctor, but the sick. Today we hear Isaiah speak of another way that the Lord reaches out to each of us with His healing touch. He says, have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not grow faint nor weary. Isaiah says, God gives power to the faint. To him who has no might, He increases strength. Those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. As we all know, there are times in our life when our strength is exhausted. We're simply drawing a breath wears us out. When we become emotionally and spiritually drained, when we just cannot go one more step. Who's been there? I've been there. This is the time where this passage, where this body of believers, where being in the Word, where taking communion brings about a healing to us. When we feel we cannot go one more step. When we can no longer pray for ourselves. Have you ever been there? Somebody tells you to pray and you're like, I can't. I just can't right now. Our God understands that. That's when you call someone else. And you ask them to pray for you. That's when you come in here and you hear the Word of God. You sing the hymns. You participate in Holy Communion. And you receive strength just from doing those sacraments. He gives you strength. A death in the family. A fight with our spouse, a medical procedure, that we have to undergo. Conflict with the coworker, having problems with your kids. Anybody been there? Oh boy, that's a tough one. Especially when you have to watch someone else you know suffer. That is harder than suffering ourselves. Struggling with finances, trying to overcome that depressed feeling. On and on and on it goes. We all face stress and pressure day in and day out in our daily lives. Every one of us does. We all at some point reach the point where we feel as if we are running on empty. We're out of gas. We have no strength. That's when you call upon the Lord. And He fills you with His strength if you get out of the way. Or you can be like me, call upon the Lord, and then try to do things in your own strength and crash and burn. Either way, Isaiah says, the Lord is the everlasting God. He is the creator of all things. God does not grow faint or grow weary, but He gives His power to the weak. He increases our strength. It is His healing touch that renews us spiritually. It is God's power and presence at work in your life that reminds you He loves you, each and every one of you. He is with you. He hears your prayers. There's a story told about a little boy who was terrified of the dark. We all have had children that were terrified of the dark. Not only was he terrified of the dark, this poor child was absolutely petrified of thunderstorms. In the night, thunderstorm starts happening, and he hears a clap of thunder, and he sees the lightning flash, and he cries out to his mother, Mom! Mom! Help me! And she comes rushing to his bedside, like all of us mothers do, and she whispers in his ear, Remember, God is with you. And he said, I know God is with me, Mama! But sometimes I just need somebody with skin on to hold me. Isn't that what Jesus is? God with skin on? Isn't that what we are to each other? God with skin on? God has flesh and blood. You can touch others with the love of Christ. You can all go visit a person in the hospital or a nursing home. You can share a word of encouragement and hope with them. You can come alongside of someone who is struggling with grief, with depression. You can share their tears and sadness, and you can wrap your arms around them. And you can be God with skin on. You can help a friend who is overwhelmed and caring for somebody who is sick or dying. Being a caregiver sucks everything out of you, and as much as you want to do it, you need renewal yourself. The Lord Jesus Christ forgives you when you partake in the sacrament of Holy Communion. You are called to carry that out into our world. Did you know that as a part of the priesthood of believers, you can tell somebody in Jesus' stead, in Jesus' name, you are forgiven? It's not just the priest, it's not just the pastor who can do that. Each and every one of you can do that. And it is often the small, quiet things that you do for your friends while they are struggling that strikes the deepest chord within them. And just like the way that Jesus healed Peter, Peter's mother-in-law. There was no fanfare. It was not complicated. He didn't say any magic words or any incantations or do anything. He simply reached a hand out. And that's what we are called to do.
The tears flow plenty from heartache and strain. So if life's journey has you weary and afraid, there's rest in the shadow of his wings. I've walked through the valleys, the mountains and plains. I have held the hand of freedom that washes all my stains. If you feel the weight of many trials and burdens from this world, there's freedom in the shelter of the Lord. I have seen the healing hand of God reaching out and mending broken hearts. Taste and see the fullness of His peace, and hold on to what's been held out, the healing hand of God. Just how